Just in and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ask me. Ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask. Ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter.
I was just telling Emily that I don't know if we should do top and bottom of the Cob anymore. And I was like, I think fans, listeners enjoy it. And I think it's just become part of the show. It is weird to have like a pretty, I guess we have a formula to the show, but then we only have like one, like, and now you guys. So let us know. Could you do without it? I feel like anything else I would come up with would be just like another form. Like how we're like, it's not, am I the asshole? It's like, am I a dick?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's only so many ways to like incorporate other people's gripes. I was just wondering, that's all. And Emily was saying about the review. You were saying people like to hear their name and the thing they're kvetching about, which I love. And then you were saying what?
A lot of podcasts will read the iTunes or the Apple Podcast reviews. And I just feel like we don't need to. I mean,
it
I guess
feels
if
like
we
start
for
an endorsement.
That, yeah, don't judge us. And you should go leave one. And I do read them. And so I do know if you're a little jerk, but
I don't, but people are leaving them because they're like, I hope they say Julie. Like, so it's kind of a little too quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Versus also, like, does anyone else want to hear like a tepid to decent review of a show you already like?
Yeah.
Like, who's that really for? Anyway. Well, I had a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people were listening like, is this evergreen? No, I had my baby.
Where is he right now? What's he got going on?
I don't know. That should be my bottom of the Cob. Is people be like, where's the baby? I'm like, what do you actually care?
Because you just brought
don't
him
ask
up.
Me, not you. Also, don't ask me any question you wouldn't ask the father.
Hmm. Fair.
Like, I appreciate that I had a baby 3 weeks ago and I'm out and I'm doing stuff and like I look normal. There are women out there who cannot, and I appreciate that. And there are women out there who are doing so much more than me after having had a baby. So just understand that postpartum women who have had babies are no different than anyone else in that we contain multitudes and we vary in shape and size and effort, whatever.
Yeah.
Volunteered at my child's school this morning. I ate a lot of baked goods.
What was going on there? An event?
It was a carnival.
Oh.
And I did my first official volunteer. I signed up for the 10 to 11 a.m. shift to help set up the bake sale because I wanted to be around the baked goods.
What kind of shift is that? An hour?
That was what was there. And I was like, I will take it. And my mother-in-law baked three cakes and some hamantaschen, which are these Jewish triangle cookies, which you always want to be a little bit better than they are.
What's in that? Is that like a jam situation in the middle?
Oh, you could do jam or you could go the route of most Jewish food and make it a little bit worse. And it's prune or poppy seed, you know, flavors kids love.
this is why there's anti-Semitism.
Every group will eat their own within their own. But I do like a hummus tosh, and as long as the filling is good, I do like an apricot jam, raspberry jam. Anyways, she made some cakes. I ended up buying back one of our cakes because nobody was buying gold cake, and I just had a bunch of it, and it's just a white cake, and it was scrumpto.
Yeah.
That's the move. Buy your tickets in advance, buy back your own baked goods, ask them to throw a free Rice Krispie treat in, eat two of them, go home happy.
So you happy really perm. Tornadoed through this bake sale.
I did. I was there to help, and I didn't want to be like, look, I do a lot of merch. I know exactly where people's eyes go. I was just like, well, I'll just label stuff. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Everybody had a nice time. My daughter did nothing but go down a slide. So I spent the tickets I bought on the baked goods.
Oh, okay.
My kid's too little for most fun. But yes, okay. I had a baby. I feel like people want to know the baby story. So here is the very abridged version of the baby story.
Yes.
Second baby, always a little bit easier. But I had to do an induction because I'm not 19. So that means you get in, they give you this like softener in your uterus, and then that has to sit there for 4 hours. You don't feel it or anything. Then they can start the Pitocin, which is the thing that whatever dilates your uterus, whatever, gets you to where you got to be so you can open up and have that baby. That took a very long time. We watched Tokyo Vice on my laptop, which is now a comfort show for me, even though it's about the widespread of Yakuza killing people in Japan in the late 90s. It was fine. The one thing I will say, and I know you guys are going to get very upset because most of you are nurses. The hospital where I was is a teaching hospital, which is great. But when you're the first patient and when you're in at 7:45 a.m., having to listen to a nurse educate another nurse, and it was her first day, not being a nurse, but at that hospital. So everything she did, she was like, now over here on your monitor, you got these buttons, see, and I always type in L, but you could do K if you want. And I'm like, I could run these monitors. Like, it was just like everything took longer because she had to do like a technological breakdown of what she was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can we please put this Pitocin in? Like, can we please get this party started? And she was like, well, you know, let us know when you're in pain. I go, I'm going to be honest. I've been having contractions for a while. They don't bother me, but I'm going to tell you I'm in pain. And one, you'll just listen because that's the kind of hospital this is. And two, I really want that catheter so I can stop peeing every 5 minutes and just pee in my bed. So I'm at a 10 for pain. So they put in the Pitocin, put in the epidural, and we were off to the races and checked in at 7:45. And around at 9:57, I was in active labor for 4 minutes and he literally did pop right out. I did not, there was no pain. I was ready for the whole region to be blown out. I had all my like self-care, witch hazel pads, everything ready to go. Came right out. And there he was. And then I made it my mission to make the next 24 hours, the requisite 24 hours at that hospital, go by as fast as possible. I did not like being there. That's it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You're a hospital and you serve breakfast. You serve hot water in a styrofoam cup. Is this just an investment in your Alzheimer's patients for the future? Is that you're giving me hot liquid in a styrofoam cup? What year is it? It's just at one point, I don't know if any other women have dealt with this. Like I understand that a lot of women want to be in a recovery room. Maybe you have kids at home. Maybe you don't have help and you're like, I would like to just be here. I don't. Okay. I had help waiting at home. The room is fucking hot. It's uncomfortable. At one point I got out of the room and I left and I was like, I need to go stand outside because the windows don't open. It's small. Like it feels like a prison. And I'm not in enough pain. Like I'm walking, like I don't need help. And they were like, you need to go back to your room. I go, I want to walk outside. I want to walk in a courtyard. She was like, we can't let you outside. Then you have to sign out, sign back in. I go, I want to open a window. And she was like, we need you to go back to your room. And I literally went, you can't make me. I'm not under arrest. You know, these like two Caribbean nurses were just like, what are we going to do with this white woman? I was like, I was like, this is unconscionable that you would put a postpartum woman in a closet like that and like think anyone wants to sit under these fucking Marshall's changing room lights with a window that doesn't open. And she was like, okay, well, I guess we'll just take your blood pressure out here in the hallway. Like my win was that like, I'm going to stand in this hallway. it's such a shitty thing to do. I should have the option of leaving. Anyways, they got us out of there. The nurse was very cool. She was really cool about like getting us out. We did the last blood test because it takes 24 hours. We get our baby. We get in the car. We're going home. And I get a phone call from the hospital. I'm like, do I answer it? Like I'm being sucked back in. It's like Shutter Island. I'm like, do I answer it? I pick it up and it's the nurse who like got us out as fast as she could. She was like, I forgot to test his bilirubin levels, which is like how you test for jaundice. His Ruben stuttered levels. And I was like, okay, well, we'll come back. She's like, you got to come back now. They're going to write me up. I was like, but you're 78. Like you've been working at this hospital since 1965. They're not going to fire you. But we did. We went back. She met us in the parking lot, did his test, and then we left. It was like, I couldn't escape. Got him home. Turns out the levels were a little high, but he's okay. He's okay. And that's it. But I'm sure there's enough women who will be offended at what I said. And there's plenty of women there that are like, I just want to go home. I don't want to eat your sugary, shitty breakfast. Like a hospital shouldn't be serving you high sugar, like fake maple syrup, garbage pancakes or anything. I turned everything away. I was like, I don't want your food. A little high on drugs. I told one nurse I hated her hospital. And she like, I think was like, it hurt her feelings. And so I apologized after.
Oh,
I was like, you're lovely. I'm sorry I said I hate your hospital. Thank you for helping me wipe my vagina. I didn't want to be there.
Right. You don't want to be stuck there. Nobody's like, yay, hospital.
It's hot. Got to keep it hot. And then the next day I turned it down. Noah was like, they said keep it at 72. And I was like, they can sue me. The baby's fine. He's wrapped up. I'm dripping buckets and I want to watch Tokyo Vice.
Yeah, you were getting chips on him.
I did. I dropped a have a chip. Have a corn chip in my baby's bassinet. All is well. He is home. Everything's great. And I have a baby. I am a mother of two, and that is a weird thing to say. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It used to be you just go to a party, have a bunch of fun, come home, not think about it. Not me. Not lately. I don't know. I feel like I'm annoyed by everything. I feel like little things kind of set me off. It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread ourselves so thin, especially with all the directions that our minds are pulled, right? There's the news, there's social issues, there's your family, there's your friends, and then there's just the constant blathering chatter of the internet. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? And how do you spend your energy wisely? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more time alone, but kind of with other people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. This is actually designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge. No hassle. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Here's the truth. You probably eat bread a lot less than you used to or not at all because of carb fear mongering. The carb fear is real. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most, right? When you think of comforting foods, when you think of things you really want to dig your teeth into. Hero Bread makes the bread that you love, your same delicious favorites, free of consequences or compromise. At Hero, they've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And Hero Bread doesn't just make bread. They have something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops. I love this part because they have indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb Hero croissants or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code Eliza at checkout. That's Eliza at hero.co. Are you skeptical about custom beauty? I am. My social media is nonstop flooded with not only beauty products, beauty influencers, it's just tons of stuff, tons of lies, all promising to fix my hair, my skin, my life. But when pros says custom, they actually mean it.
It's not a gimmick. Your formula could not exist without you. Because every bottle of Pro's custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors, and they get personal, which I appreciate. Because to understand how someone lives, you have to know where they live. What's the UV index in your area? What's the water hardness? Is it cold? Is it dry air? You know, I live in LA. The weather is crazy. Next, they analyze all of that information and how it relates to you, and then Pros recommends a full routine of truly personalized products, which are only produced after your order is placed. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/askeliza. That's PROSE.com/askeliza for your free consultation and 50% off one-of-a-kind formulas. PROSE.com/askeliza.
I feel like the other thing people want to know is, how are Sierra and Tianfu adjusting?
Why does everybody want to know that? I cannot see myself asking any woman that. I get asked questions that it would never occur to me to ask anyone about themselves, which is why this isn't an interview show.
Right. I mean, you have no problem hurrying along a story that you don't think is particularly interesting.
Totally. I know you're saying that about your cats and you're like, but some of us really want to know.
No, I'm just saying this is what the people want to know. They want to know like what's going on. You have another child and a dog.
My child's a sweet little boy. Tianfu is, for the most part, completely unaffected by the baby's presence. Yeah. She's not scared of him like she was of Sierra. And Sierra is, you know, she's a proper two-year-old, so we're getting whatever comes with that. But when it comes to him, she's very sweet.
Oh.
Like, she doesn't hit him. And everyone's like, so far. You're like, just don't curse my kid, all right? She always wants to hold him, always wants to breathe on him, always wants to give him a kiss on the head. Doesn't seem jealous like directly of him versus more like, look what I did. So, and it's funny, no matter how much attention you give them, it's kind of like not enough. All is well though. And I'm not going to lie. I have a nurse who lives with us who mostly takes care of my infant son. I don't feel bad about having help. I pay for it with money that I earned. People can fucking get over it. Every woman would want this if they could have it. And women who are doing really well that say they're doing it on their own are probably lying and do have help. Or you're mentally struggling and you're tired and you don't have help. And that's not right. It really does take a village. Because I was a little depressed for a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Someone that doesn't have depression, my husband had to be like, this is what depression is. Like, he's like, here's how it works. And I was like, that's what I have. I feel real bad.
Oh. So,
don't be ashamed. You can have all the help in the world and you can have money and you can have everything and it can still be very hard. So moral of the story is let mothers feel what they're feeling and just know that it's hard no matter how you do it, but probably a lot harder without help.
Well, I think it's really nice that you have the same wonderful person who helped you with Sierra helping with Ethan. I think that's really nice.
Yeah. I hacked breastfeeding in that if you can produce milk, I pump throughout the day and then I leave it in the refrigerator. So Myrna just comes out at night and she just takes what she needs for the baby. She gets up with him. I still have to get up to pump every once in a while, but that kind of, we've like whittled it down to just like once. There's no escaping the fact that you're going to be tired. But even before I had Sierra, I was like, I'm not getting up in the middle of the night. And I don't. And I sleep, and it's still not enough.
I like how you leaned in to like tell half that like it was a hack and a secret. Like, guess what I do? I pump.
Oh, I pump and I leave it in the fridge and I don't, I'll breastfeed like during the day, but I'm not getting up. That's not how I see it. Certain things as a mom, like she got her blanket dirty and it's like a wool cashmere blanket. Noah's like, do you want to wash that? I was like, no, I don't know how to do that. And I don't want to. So I shan't. You do it.
Fair.
While you're making all of our meals, you also do that. Someone will do it. I don't know. You ever have certain lines you draw? You're like, I'm just not doing that. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I'll probably be bad at it.
Well, Cardi not B. like that.
I don't clean. Let me tell you, I got this ring.
Yeah, but you're not like the husband and Everybody Loves Raymond, like not moving the suitcase.
Right. No, he was awful to her.
Yeah, he was horrible. That's not the vibe. I think there's a difference with just having some things that you're just like, I'm not doing that. That's it.
But we're very happy. We have our little boy and we have our little girl. And I'm going to start working out here pretty soon after I eat this cake. Start getting back on stage this week and get back into it as a full-on mother of two with my Chinese dog.
Working mother of two.
Working. Working it out. Be back on tour. Those dates are getting announced soon. I feel like that's it for the... I also, having no ire directed at you or this podcast, like I kind of just don't want to answer questions anymore about my kids.
Okay.
About how I'm feeling. Because, and I don't know if any other women, this will resonate with them, or maybe even if you haven't had a kid, but just... Have we talked about this? The emotional energy it costs you as a friend, as a whatever, to send me a text that's like, hey, congrats. Like, I know we talked about the congrats, but like, hey, how you feeling? How you doing?
We talked about it, but I think it's worth rediscussing.
Also, like if a woman has just had a kid, here's what you text them. Hey, do not answer this. You are on my mind. I hope you're doing great. If there's something you need, please let me know. Or just thinking of you. Don't require her to be like, doing great, LOL, feel so good. Because you just want to have checked in.
Yeah.
I just started erasing emails and texts. I just...
XO, thanks.
I know that sounds mean, but I kind of don't care. Because the world is on fire, so how I respond to a text, like, whatever. I'd rather no one check in.
Are people checking in with you about your Oscars predictions?
That's... Well, by the time this airs, I don't know. There's what I want to win. Like, I want Poor Things to win everything. But everything was good, so it's tough. There's no, like, stinker. Mm. You want to make this a movie podcast. I know you do.
No. I'm too tired. I saw Dune, too. It was 8 hours. I'm too tired to talk about movies.
Dune too much. All right. Well, one of my tops is a movie, so we'll just we'll get into the questions.
Okay.
And I'm sorry if I sound tired.
I think
every single thing... I'm just going to say every single thing about motherhood that I thought I would never do or never say or never feel, you end up feeling and saying and doing. So short of tapping my nails on a Stanley cup, for the most part, like I am that. And I will say last night, Noah and I ate dinner at home and he had a really chuggable natural wine and I drank half the bottle. And I am not a wine mom and I'm not a wine person, but it was bubbly. And I was like, here we go, Saturday night. And it got me. It's in my
Saturday
eyes.
Night.
I was home. I was like, let's have a little party. Just you and me. And then we'll watch some TV and I'll have this wine.
Big night.
So I'm just going to take a break. And then I ate a bunch of sugar today. So I'm excited to be doing this though. This is good.
Yeah. You wanted to do this earlier. And I was like, no, let's use those banked episodes so they don't get too stale.
I did. We got a lot of fun things coming up on the pod as well. All right. Let's get into it.
Hey, Liza, Emily, gang. Thanks in advance for your sage wisdom and for the no bullshit advice you share each week. You keep my coworker and I sane throughout the grueling work week. I love that coworkers are listening together. So,
that is cute.
I met my now husband back in 2013 while we were freshmen in college. We have dated ever since and just got married about 2 years ago. Since then, things have been generally really great. Honestly, not much has changed between the 9 years of dating and 2 years of marriage, which I'm not mad about because our relationship has always been overall amazing. I'd say he's been my best friend throughout the past decade, and I've always felt he has made me a better person because of his, quote, outstanding morals. I've never questioned that he was the so-called, quote, best person I'd ever met until now. Recently, he told me that he remembered something messed up that he did over 10 years ago, right after we started seeing each other. He uploaded an intimate photo that he took of me to an apparently self-deleting website. I knew the photo was being taken and had no problem with him having it on his phone, but I would never expect him to share it with anyone, let alone strangers on the internet. I don't believe any websites are truly self-deleting, so this photo
must exist
in some corner of the internet, which is appalling. When I asked him why he did it, the only reason he could give me was that he was looking for some sort of validation that I was as hot as he thought I was. I'm the most empathetic person there is. I could even understand if he told me he cheated because at least that's fulfilling some sort of primal desire. But this is so unrelatable and left me feeling disgusting and so incredibly violated. It's super fucked up because throughout our relationship, I haven't been perfect either. And he's taken every opportunity to point that out. And anytime I messed up, and no, I've never done anything this bad or even gotten remotely close to cheating. So he's up on his moral high horse, making me feel horrible for doing much less significant things that I was always honest about from the start. Meanwhile, he had 9 years before we got married to own up to this. I believe that he forgot it happened, but no way he blacked out immediately after it happened. So I just don't see an excuse for hiding this for so long. What the hell do I do here? Luckily, we have no kids yet, but we've been together for almost 11 years and it feels so intimidating to think about starting over. I'm so hurt and confused. Please help.
First of all, you know, you're like, he's my best friend. We have this amazing relationship. Did you just say he points out anytime you do something wrong? Can I hear that sentence again?
He's taken every opportunity to point that out, that I haven't been perfect either. And anytime I've messed up, he's up on his moral high horse, making me feel horrible.
This is once you said, hey, why did you do this with this picture? Or like in general?
It sounds like in general.
So it's not amazing. And you're a little brainwashed into thinking that this guy is like the second coming. And like he's always, and like, it's funny, as you were saying it, I was like, that's Noah. Like he is, Noah has like unshakable morals. But no, my husband, this isn't me saying my marriage is like this perfect thing. It's pretty great. Noah never makes me feel bad.
No.
When I am like, I know this bake sale money is for the school. Can I still have a free Rice Krispie treat? Something's off here. Your narrative and the truth don't match up. And I'm so sorry to say this to you, but his I blacked out is what we have all said as excuses when
cheated. She's saying, she's saying like, there's no way that she believes that he didn't remember, but she's like, it's not like it happened and then he blacked out. Like there was a time period where he had done it and remembered it. But yeah, 11 years on, he's like, I'm wondering why he decided to tell.
Something, it was on the back of something. It was, it's been eating at him. You know, there's a version where he tried to forget about it. He never forgot. He never forgot. And he was always hoping it would go away. I wonder why. What I'm missing is why he told you. What was that on the back of? What had you just talked about? Was it after an anniversary? Was it something bonding and sweet, like an anniversary? And he's like, I got to come clean about something. What was the catalyst for this? The very first thing you need to do is a reverse image search if you have the picture. I'm wondering if he said it to you because he saw that it's somewhere on the internet.
I don't think so. I think it's one of those things where it would be really hard to find on purpose at this point.
Okay. You're not famous. This isn't a picture anybody's going to want. Okay. And it was so, if you're 2013, like that internet for sure, it could be self-deleting. Does that website even exist? The issue is he did something like that. The issue is he wasn't, there's so many issues. Men can be insecure and maybe he just wanted other bros to be like, yeah, she is smoking hot, whatever. It is such a violation. I can't tell you what to do because you've built so much on this. My bigger issue, that is shitty. He did that to you, but you guys also started dating freshman year of college. So like guys are scumbags. They do dumb fucking things. They make mistakes. Your problem is that he never came clean and he probably never did because he thought you would leave him. The bigger issue is this guy as great of a guy as you think he is? And it's not about when you were young, you made a mistake because we all have done that. It's really more in the fact that you're like, and he always points out when I make a mistake. So is he this like moral compass that you're talking about? Or is he kind of insecure and anything you say bothers you? He's like, well, you're not perfect either, which is such an emotionally unintelligent, dumb person argument. You're like, nobody is saying anyone's perfect. Like that's never, literally no one's argument has ever been, I'm perfect and you made a mistake. I think your answer is buried deep in your heart. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. It's okay to forgive. It's okay to not want to throw a relationship away, but you need to figure out exactly how you view this person. Because even within your question, he went from being the best guy you know to someone who's always shitty to you.
Yeah.
When you make a mistake. Yeah.
And that your big concern is, well, I've put 11 years into this. It's like, well,
what's that term?
Sunk cost fallacy. Are you going to put 11 more at this point? You know, if it's not like, how do I work through this? How do I learn to trust him again? It's like, oh, I've already put 11 years in.
Dude, I don't know. That's a very weird thing to do. And you could be fine with it if he came clean about it. But he probably thought he never had to. So it's good that it ate at him. But again, I need the catalyst for why he told it to you. So please write back.
Yeah.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today. I like investing in quality pieces and owning them forever versus buying and rebuying garbage and clothing made of plastic over and over. That's why I like Quince. They make owning luxury essentials easy because they have unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. Not everyone is a millionaire, but that shouldn't stop you from owning sustainable quality items that you wear over and over that always look great. Like a 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Pare it down. Make your life easier. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I went to Mexico City recently and I wore shorts the whole time. Not just any shorts. I got my shorts at Quince. I got bamboo jersey maternity bike shorts. Bamboo is sustainable. I can feel good about wearing it. And the price was pretty nice. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Hi, AIA crew. I want to start off by saying I love the podcast. Listen to it religiously every Wednesday morning during my commute. Now, for my backstory. In November of last year, I regretfully purchased meat from a door-to-door salesman. I will admit I was naive and didn't know door-to-door meat sales was the type of solicitation. You live and learn. Anyway, I made many attempts to contact the company for a refund and pick up the crap. I even went as far as to cite my state's consumer protection regulations and the federal regulations and outline the timelines for them to retrieve the product and refund me. After a few months of no response, I fed the meat to my stray cats because the quality was so awful. I chose to file a dispute with my credit card company after the deadline for a refund had passed, knowing I wasn't going to get it from the company. I then filed a complaint with my state's attorney general office, including all my receipts and my interactions in which they mailed a letter. Their response to the attorney general sent me. They completely lied about literally everything that occurred. Even the last four digits of the credit card on the copy of the dispute wasn't mine. Regardless of the successful dispute, I want revenge on this company. I've posted reviews on Google and the Better Business Bureau site, but I still don't feel like that is enough, and there are similar customer reviews, and the company replies are clearly dishonest. My question: should I drop this or should I try to shut this shit down by seeking legal action? That is, if there is action to take for this. Sending warm welcomes to your new baby boy. Much thanks.
No name?
This is clearly an anonymous meat procurer.
Anonymous meat. Dear Anonymous, I get it. It sucks when your money isn't valued. You fell for a scam. At the end of the day, you bought, you got what you paid for. You bought door meat and you got door meat. They didn't not fulfill their bargain. It was consumed. You need to let this go and let that be a lesson. And the actual greater lesson is nothing works anymore. Everything is broken. I'm talking to you, Pottery Barn. Everything is a pain in the ass to ship back. Everything they'll replace. Very few things are quality, arrive as quality, and you feel great. And there's no more deals. Everything is cheap, made in China, crap. I would suspect that that was some weird raccoon meat. You don't know. So caveat emptor, you know, and a scam's a scam. You fell for a scam. This is no different than a pyramid scheme or anything else you would fall for. This entity probably doesn't exist. The parent company probably isn't even in America. Let it go. I can't imagine you spent that much money on this meat. I mean, we spend money all the time that literally is just going in the garbage. Like, you're like, well, that's $58. I guess I'll never see again.
The Better Business Bureau is also a scam, though, so don't worry about them. Hit Yelp, leave a Yelp review if you already left a Google review. I mean, I feel like the most you could get is maybe like a class action lawsuit, but probably not, because it sounds like you did a credit card dispute, and it sounds like maybe you got refunded via that, even if they didn't pay you back directly. So, yeah. I mean, you could post on social media and tag them. You could post on like Reddit and stuff, and then
it's
just
a ghost.
If they have a presence. But yeah, they're going to have different names. They're going to have different providers.
That's how these things work. I mean, I have a very clear memory of like sitting in the kitchen with a relative, and she was like in tears because an insurance company had called her and was like, we're going to get one of your relatives covered. And then at the end, we realized, we didn't give them any money, but like toward the end of the call, realized it was a scam. So I'm yelling at them, I'll never find that company, those people.
No.
Like, they're ghosts.
No. You can't fight big door meat.
You can't fight big door meat. Let it go and let that be a lesson. But it will cost you more emotionally and probably eventually financially. We all get taken at some point. We all spend money on stuff. And never forget, if you're a woman, like somehow you're being annoying. So even though you had your ducks in a row, just let it go. Let it go.
Here's the thing about scams, because sometimes people don't talk about being scammed because they're embarrassed a lot of the time. Scammers try this millions of times per day. There were 80 door meet people going door to door. They were waiting for the one person that, like those package texts you get that'll be like, oh, FedEx has your package. Sign up here to get it or whatever. They're waiting for the person who was both waiting for a package, like waiting for meat and not paying that much attention. And today was your day to get got. And now you know for the future.
It happens to all of us. Be glad it happened on this small scale so you don't lose your 401k. Kick it.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Let's decide. First, I love the pod. Please come to Atlanta soon. My sister and I love everything both of you do. Well, I'm already here.
I am. Well, I'll see you. Why would I eat ice while talking?
I don't know.
Even as I took it into my mouth, I was like, why am I doing this? I will be in Atlanta. 2024, the dates will be announced soon. So keep your ears open.
Yeah. Anyway, I am a 21-year-old baby woman that has a work bestie that is a 50-year-old man. Let me explain. For context, I started an office job at a service company in 2021 at the ripe age of 19 years old doing clerical work. Since starting, I've been promoted multiple times and am now the administrative supervisor. My work bestie, we'll call him Anthony because that's his name, and if he by chance ever hears this, we'll undoubtedly know it's about him anyway, started here 6 months before me and is the operations manager. I realized after working here for a few months during my light Facebook stalking of each of my coworkers that his wife was my fifth grade music teacher. I told him about this, and ever since we've been chatty and do the usual, oh, how's your wife conversations. We work in an open office, so we chit-chat back and forth all day about random things. This includes little things about our personal life, like what we did on the weekends, but nothing deep. We've never had any interaction outside of work other than a text or call about things relating to the office until recently. Recently, he has started to send me posts and memes on Instagram. We don't follow each other, to which I do not reply. Here's the situation that has started creeping me out. I was headed to lunch one day when he called me over to his desk. When I went over there, he had his wife on video call, and his wife asked me if I would go to the live Wheel of Fortune show with them that night and that they could pay for my ticket. I have a hard time saying no, so of course I say, sure, I'll go. Soon after that, I remembered that Liza said you have to be willing to make people as uncomfortable as they make you. So I went to him about 30 minutes later and told him I did not want to go, but I appreciated them offering to buy my ticket. Good on you. He then proceeds to give me the silent treatment for the rest of the day. He broke the silence a few times to beg me to go with them, offering to pick me up and drop me off and buy me dinner. When I would say no, it was back to the silent treatment for about 45 minutes. More context, they do have two children that are my age that do not live in this city. I am not sure why, but the more I think about them asking me to go, the more I get creeped out. Why would they want me to go with them? Did they only ask me because they miss their kids and maybe thought this would fill some void? Should I try and limit the personal chit-chat between us? The entire situation has just made me feel weird, and I need some input on how I should move forward. Sorry for the book, but I know Eliza likes context and details. This is tough.
Well, it could be the void thing, or they're trying to sleep with you.
It could be the void thing, but the problem is that they did not take no for an answer. That they're like, we'll buy you dinner, we'll drive you, we'll pick you up, we'll drop you off. That's when it gets into like, why do you, if they had just said, hey, you should come out. My financial manager let me go with him and his wife when I lived in LA to the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Because he was like, the tickets came out at the time that our meeting was. He's like, do you want to go with us? And I was like, sure. And it was great because it was casual. We drove separately. We checked out the JPL. Like,
he's like, I'll be honest, I don't have a ton of work to do on your account because you work for a lot of
100% his poorest client because he has like, you know, people who have money management. But anyway, so, yeah. Older people or people asking you to hang out is not weird. That's a couple being the like, guy, you should hang out with us isn't weird.
She doesn't think that. The guy's 50.
The guy is 50. She's so now 21. So it's not 21.
That old.
No.
Not that old. However, there is a version where your fifth grade teacher, whom you never knew that well, and this guy are like a little weird. Sometimes men, especially as they get older, because I've seen this, when they get embarrassed, they get kind of weird. And when they don't get what they want, they get kind of weird. This could be anything from the wife was like, oh my God, that would be so nice. And we'll do a whole thing. And then you were like, I changed my mind. And it like got her hopes up. So he could be reacting on behalf of the wife. He could be reacting on behalf of like, I'll find someone for that third ticket because your cousin doesn't want to go. You don't know, and it doesn't matter. All you can do, I call it like the Texas homecoming cheerleader face, is just be like nice to him when you see him and act like it never happened because it actually doesn't matter. Hey there, how are you? Hi, good morning. Like, keep it surfacey and just move on. Like, let him be weird, but like, you don't have to. If you were at school and we live in a time where like that kid might end up shooting you, but if you were at school and there was a weird kid and you were told to be nice to him, or if you were, I don't know, like a waitress and you had a weird customer, what would you do? You'd always be like, hey, what can I, you're good? Oh, I'm so glad, bye. And it would just be surface, congenial, quick conversations. You don't have to get into it. You can pretend it never happened. If he continues to be weird and you can't pull that off, you can simply say, be like, sorry about the other day. Like, I thought about it. Like, I just had like a lot of stuff to do. It's not about explaining yourself, but it's about being like, are we okay? I feel like you're so mad. And if he says anything other than like, it's okay, you'd be like, okay, well, I hope we can get past it. Move on. If you care enough.
Yeah,
but you can't spend your time like, I don't know what I did. Did this bother him? Did this bother her? You're past it. You're 20. It doesn't matter. You're past it.
Yeah.
I do it all the time with weirdos who it's not even personal. Like in a green room, someone's weird. You're just like, hey, good set. All right. See you guys later. And let them talk shit later. Like it doesn't matter. His reaction has nothing to do with you.
I would love to just be able to hear from the wife, the company Christmas party or something. Like, I'd be very curious to see if the wife is totally normal, or if like maybe he's been talking about you a lot because you're his only work friend, and she's just like, I want to see this late. You know, I don't know. There's 20. A lot of explanations.
This is too much pressure on you.
Yeah,
this is just like when you've had a baby and someone sends you a long email. Like, it's too much pressure on you. Who fucking cares?
Yeah,
you were all you have in common. Is that this woman was your teacher 15 years, 15? Yeah. No, fifth grade, whatever.
10.
Two 200 years ago.
5 years ago.
And it is a tenuous connection at best. It's not like she was a college professor. Yeah, but that's not, I'm saying the connection is the wife. That's why she's talking like, oh, and how is she? It doesn't matter what the fucking answer is. It doesn't actually matter. None of this matters.
Yeah.
Avoid him for a little bit and then just come around a couple of days and be like, hey, Jim, happy Monday.
Yeah.
Like, whatever he's going to tell you, think about that. Whatever he's going to tell you, like, do you care? Do you really?
Right.
Sorry, my wife had been having, you still don't want to go.
Right.
It doesn't change anything.
All right.
The world is on fire.
Faith, family, fraud. Hey, Eliza and crew. Warm greetings to you and the brood from Northwest Ohio, forever fan and perpetual binger of this podcast. I, 33, homosexual male, have an odd dilemma. I've been involved in a niche Instagram community focusing on beard culture for about 2 years. Hair beards, not like...
Not gay beard, okay. Not, not the woman, not frumpy woman that you marry.
Yeah.
In a closet, okay.
Lots of bros and gays bantering about beards. Interesting territory with the crossing of the two categories. Upon my entry into this world, I was inundated with DMs from curious beard enthusiasts. One of them, being the main character of this situation, we'll call him Sham. 60s, white male, Texan, quote, ex-gay. Sham is an affluent...
Where do you get the name Sham? We'll call him Sham? What? Okay. What's that short for?
I think because he's short a sham. For...
Oh. I thought...
I think it's like if we said we'll call him fraud.
Shamu, because he's dead now. Okay.
Sham is an affluent beard and mustache enthusiast and faith-based influencer. He's okay,
I'm so sorry. This entire community is not gay and straight. This is all gay guys, some of whom are gay and don't realize it. This is a community where people are using beard code. I'm just putting this out there based on not having any prior knowledge to suss out gay sex.
Oh, just wait. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, but just the way that this guy talks about just...
I'm sorry, he's a preacher?
He's a faith-based influencer.
Oh, so deeply closeted. So you're closeted homosexual.
And okay, ex-gay. Apparently ex-gay. So.
Yeah, because that's totally a thing.
Yeah, that
it's
happens.
It's totally a thing.
Especially when you're a beard influencer.
Yeah, that's totally like a not a Christian mind brainwashing thing. And you know how ex-gay is something you can just do. You turn it off, turn it on. People
Those
always
people
say
Those people are really normal. Ex-gays are really normal and happy with themselves.
Yeah. And it's totally a phrase that you hear all the time, ex-gay, because people can just like set it down.
He is Sham, is heavily engrossed in the beard algorithm and has a large platform, as well as an account dedicated to mustache culture. That has to be a separate account. You couldn't cross them. Sham and I's correspondence begins unalarmingly. He's complimentary and interested in my beard and begins asking me to send him videos of me showcasing it for him.
Yeah, this is like tickled for anyone. Like,
yes.
I don't know why you think this is like also straight. If anyone there that's straight, like then they're just blind to it.
I obliged because I figured, what the hell? Moderately attractive daddy giving me attention and wants mine? Sure. Sham asked me in the DMs if my wife likes my beard. I give an LOL, you're funny type of answer because I sense he's fishing for information. He then pieces it together that I'm a homosexual based on the hashtags I was using in my posts. I just imagine just like hashtag beard, hashtag gay beard. Like, oh, is this gay guy beard. Gay? Like, okay. This is when Sham reveals to me that he is an ex-gay. He divulges to me unsolicited information about how he couldn't stop jerking off to men, specifically bearded men, for 30 years, ultimately destroying the marriage he had to his wife and breaking apart their family. So now he's just has a beard account.
You're like, I guess I'll accept your friend request.
Sham starts spamming me with dozens of deranged video messages of himself persuading me that with Jesus, I can break free from the bondage of homosexuality. Interesting. I reveal to him my religious trauma of being imprisoned and forced to attend a K-12 Catholic school system run by a homophobic administration, as well as a bizarre relationship my mother had with a Catholic priest all throughout my youth. I frankly tell him I don't really trust religious people because so many of them had hide sinister ass shit in the guise of Jesus. So nice try, pal. Meanwhile, I'm doing some Googling of his name and online presence. The first result that comes up when you Google him is a litigation release.
But why are we protecting this? Give me the guy's name. Like, why does this guy get protection? We can hide your name. He's not listening.
We don't want to be involved in this trial. First result is a litigation release from a government site. Turns out Sham got himself into a pickle and the FBI revealed he had stolen $500,000 from elderly customers while working as a financial advisor for a bank in Texas. He's a scam artist.
The bank sells door-to-door meat.
Okay. My question to you, how do I go about finding peace and accepting that real people like this exist in the world, the wolves in sheep's clothes of society? I am so bothered that someone like this is out there preying on good-natured people. Sham has his ex-gay tentacles wrapped around my unassuming bearded contemporaries while spouting off this dangerous narrative to the masses that with Jesus, homosexuality is reversible. I see this as a threat to a prosperous society, and people should be aware of these types of behaviors. We have a ton of mutuals, and it shakes me to the core to know there is a vulnerable someone out there buying his illogical and brainless bullshit. I get spasms of ick every time I see his newest online bromance unfolding and seeing him freely blending into society unchecked. I know that blocking him is the most obvious solution, but again, his presence is inescapable with our mutuals. What will bring me peace? And then a wildly unrelated PS. Any plans to release more specials on vinyl? Elder Millennials, one of my favorites, would love to see more of your work pressed on wax in the most environmentally responsible way, of course. Lots of love from Ohio, and thank you for you, George.
I'll tell you what, George. We print them on wax so they can be eligible for Grammy consideration, but
We don't sell them.
Maybe we did. If they're on the website, then they're on the website. But it's not like something, it's not a huge demand for those. So, but thank you. That's very cool of you. Listen to me. You have to decide if you want this to be your battle. And weirdly, I'm kind of pro you making this your battle. Everybody has moments in their life where it's like, do I just ignore it and move on peacefully? Or do I kind of die on this hill? Now, what this man is a sociopath. This man has no remorse. He is a criminal. And he will lie, cheat, and steal until somebody punches him in the face. And I'm looking at his picture on Instagram. It is the gayest Tom of Holland caricature cartoon of like a silver bear daddy. Yeah. Any self-respecting homosexual would look at this man and know that he's gay. With his like buff Santa Claus trimmed realness. He's got the high, it's tight on the sides, long in the middle, which always is like a little Richard Spencer adjacent. Straight men, unless they are, I mean, this guy seems like a gym bro, but like straight men just don't flex this way. Sorry, unless they're athletes. So you can, first of all, warn your people. Warn your people, warn your people, warn your people, and make it like open, private information that like everyone knows this guy is kind of like, he's going to get some people. He's going to, you know, he is seeking to treat people in the name of Jesus so he can fuck them. That's the means to this end. He's not actually trying to convert anyone. What? You want to say something so bad?
Because here's the thing. Okay. You're saying like, this man is perverting our beautiful, innocent beard culture. Okay, this man was like, send me videos of you showing off your beard. And you were like, absolutely. This was not an innocent, vulnerable community. Now, you do whatever you want with your beards on Instagram, but this man is not messaging like kids. Like, you're all like, look at my beard. I took a picture from this angle.
People like this cannot be trusted. You're all trying to fuck. Okay. This isn't a website for people of sexual abuse that need comfort and help. Like you're all trying to fuck. This is a beard, gay, big fuck fest. And that is perfectly fine and perfectly healthy. Your issue, the bigger issue, is that he is surreptitious, he's a liar, he's a criminal, and he's going around spreading this vitriol that Jesus Christ can save you, which if I were a gay person would be like poison. Like, it is a horrible thing to hear. It's no different than being told that Jesus Christ can save you if you're Jewish. What he's saying is what you are is wrong and Christ can help you. And by Christ, I mean, I'm going to have sex with you and then I'll do something weird. So you have a couple options. First of all, tell your people, tell your people, tell your people. But second of all, like, you can post about this scammer, because I promise you this, he will, if he ever says anything, it'll be like, this man has unfounded information, but you could post those conversations.
Also, I'd
be curious, if you wanted to.
Are your mutuals people you're actually friends with that are actually friends with him, or just people that he followed them and they followed back because he has X number of followers? Like, I'm sure I follow people on Instagram that I don't really know. And if someone was like, Emily is mutuals with this serial killer,
you know,
I'd
what?
Be like, I don't know who that is, but I'm sure I followed them. Whoops.
Yeah. By mutuals, what I mean is, are they all friends with each other? The bigger issue here is this guy is saying, I'm straight and I'd like to use Jesus Christ to help all of you heathens. So what I would post is, this man is coming into our community, our big gay fuck party, and he's trying to proselytize. The fact that he is a closeted homosexual, obviously I'm not proving it, and it's almost neither here nor there, because what he's saying is so poisonous and obviously, like, deeply scientifically wrong. So you could post that, be like, do you know this guy? He drops into your DMs, asks for videos, asks, like, probing questions highlighted here and here, and then when you get comfortable, tells you that Jesus Christ can fix you. We don't want this in our community.
Yeah.
And if he is what he says he is, like, he might be insane and think, I mean, any gay guy will look at that profile and be like, this guy's gay. He probably will just skulk away. But I think it's more like, if you really want to defend your flock, and I just know this for going through this with anti-Semitism all the time, like, sometimes you just got to post a bitch and then block them. And be like, I'm putting you on blast because what you're doing is very harmful, and someone should, because nobody does. This isn't like, I want to die on every hill and I want to be the poster child for, like, advocacy for, like, Judaism. But you have more power than you think. And this person is saying that what you are is wrong and you don't deserve that. So at the bare minimum, make sure that your friends know that it's an open secret that this guy exists in these circles, and take your screen grabs, because you can't deny those.
Yeah.
It's just about, how do you want to spend your time and energy?
This guy's bio says, like, oh, I'm straight. Like, if you would have put that in your bio, I don't believe you.
Totally straight. Like, why'd you put straight in quotes?
Right. Oh, these are some good questions. So how about a couple follow-ups?
Red Hot Update.
Okay, so we have an update / clarification on Married in Secret. Now, this was the woman who had married her trans husband several years ago, hasn't told her parents. And we were like, why? So,
especially because she went out of her way to tell us how accepting the parents were, how the parents called, you know, just like, oh, this is our son-in-law. We're just acted like, we're just very normal about it and loving and accepting. And you repaid them. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. We want to hear.
Hi, I'm sorry I didn't give more of a reason why I didn't tell them. Since my parents paid for my divorce and child custody battles, I was worried they would think I was putting myself back in that position again, possibly them back in the position to have to go through that again. They love my husband and know he is nothing like my ex. We also never really planned on getting married legally because we both had been through divorce and it was messy, but he needed health insurance for his medication. He had moved from another state to be with us after my son and I moved, so he didn't have a job that offered it right away. I have mentioned to my dad about how we file taxes together as married, and he never said anything about it. I want to tell them, but I'm worried they'll be hurt, and I don't want that either. But I'm tired of just trying to slide in comments here and there to bring up the conversation. But you're right. The longer I wait, the more it might hurt. Thank you for answering my question on the pod. When Emily started to read it, I was like, it's my question. Then felt kind of stupid for not giving more context, but thank you.
Oh, don't feel stupid. No. She's like, the longer I wait, the more it might hurt. So I guess it's going to hurt a lot because I'm never actually telling them. Also, your parents. And your parents gave you money to get a divorce and you don't owe anyone an explanation about that marriage or why it was good, why it was bad, whatever. No parent gives their kid help to get out of a bad marriage under the promise that, and you promise you'll never get married again, right? That's silly. All parents want to see their kids in happy, healthy relationships. And you got one. And you couldn't have done it without this divorce. So just bite the bullet, say it. They probably know and are fine with whatever.
Yeah.
But that's silly. It's not like they watched you get into another bad one. That, I don't even understand that excuse. I don't know that I buy that, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a couple of follow-ups on our hardest question ever, which was, my friend keeps breaking my furniture.
Oh, so, remember this one?
This person says, I'm a larger woman. Furniture is one of the nightmares for fat people. Will I fit? Will it hold? It's awful. I've broken furniture, sat on a toddler bed, and have had friends break furniture. Not just fat people and not just big or tall people. It's an awful feeling. And shit isn't that well made most of the time. My husband, who is perfectly normal, had the screws / leg pop off our chair because of daily use. The kindest thing the question asker can do is email or text her friend. Face-to-face or on the phone is humiliating. Tell your friend you love them, you aren't trying to hurt or embarrass them, and you know this is upsetting. Then tell them your furniture is not suitable for your friend and you're going to get a piece or two that is so she can be comfortable in your home. Then get to shopping. When you get the pieces, take a picture and text her and be excited about how cute or cool the new pieces are. This will also help her know what to use. Your friend will be mortified, sad, and grateful. Have someone be considerate and not judge you is the greatest act of kindness. Us fat people don't get a lot of that in the world, which is not meant to be a pity party. It's just the truth.
I said that.
Yeah,
I said that in the episode. I was like, she's probably not used to people being nice to her.
I know. Okay. So they say weight limits are not really well calculated for furniture. So my advice is to get something 300 to 500 pounds as a minimum and with a thick base, like a club chair, no tiny legs. So I think this is interesting because I think we were trying to figure out, how do you go, hey, this is yours, go sit over here. But I think like, oh, check out this cute chair I got. Like, look, here it is. Here's its new place. Like, aren't you, I don't know. There's something about that that's nicer.
I agree with parts of this. I'm not a larger person. I don't have any expertise. This kind of feels pejorative. This feels like you're having to treat her like a child. Now, I think there's a difference between kindness and also giving someone the respect of treating them like an adult. And the reason I said face-to-face is so she can see the kindness in your face. She's going to be embarrassed regardless. I do think emails and texts lose a little bit. And also, this is an adult who has made decisions for themselves. And I think that they're, even the language of this email feels like, well, you're obviously like a little damaged and kind of a child because you're overweight. So I'm going to talk to you like this. You can only affect the way that you deliver the information. How she receives it will be mired with her lifetime of trauma from other people. But like, you're not coming from a bad place and you are spending this money. If she can't see that, like you're going out of your way to do all this. I don't know. I think you've put a lot into this and it's like, here's a chair. This one's super sturdy. And you don't have to make her feel bad.
No.
Like this one's super sturdy. I think this could be your chair. We could even get you a little hat. Like, don't give her a chance to have that pity party. You can't account for her lifetime of being treated shitty. And what you're doing is coming from a good place. But I don't like this thing where there are certain people in society you have to handle with kid gloves simply because you're doing something nice and you want to make sure. I don't know. I don't know if I don't like that.
I mean, hopefully this person knows their friend, hopefully. The original question asker will know if they can. I know to an extent. I know I could be so much more honest with you about something than some of my other friends, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think you know kind of who needs what.
And by the way, I don't know how big this person is. You're saying 300 to 500 pound weight limit. What if they're over 500 pounds? Just saying. That's why I said beanbag. Everybody likes a beanbag. Doesn't beanbag sound like an insult? Yeah, you fucking beanbag.
It does. When I was uploading last week's episode, first I had it as one word. And then before I hit upload, I was like, no, that can't be right. It's two words. Beanbag.
Beanbag.
All right. Top of the cob.
It's the top of the cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
My bottom of the cob.
Okay.
Is we got to go to Florida, to the west coast of Florida. There are no flights from LA to the west coast of Florida that are direct.
Right.
This is an entire coastline of a pretty populated state. No flights. No flights.
Nobody wants to go.
And it's just awful how, like, anywhere you want to go, it's like American, which is a horrible airline that will fuck you. And it was the first time in my life that I ever verbally, like, I cried out, I wish I had rich parents. Like, that could just, like, send a plane. Like, it is logistically, like, it will be me and my husband and two babies. And it's like, yeah, there's a 2-hour layover in Charlotte if the plane comes. It was just shocking to me how hard it is to get to very populated parts of our country, like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like Indiana. There's like one flight and it's American, so no flight. And just how many times in the short amount of time in the last few years that, like, I've just gotten fucked so hard. So I'd rather just gonna fly into Miami and then just drive. But it's still, it's just hard how everything is kind of hard, kind of weird, kind of a nightmare. That's what she said. Just saying. Airplanes both take you where you got to go, not part of the way there. And it shouldn't be like, I have to factor in my flight getting delayed or canceled because it's American Airlines.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Oof.
If you knew so it you was going to go smoothly.
So I fly Delta and I'm like, I'd rather get fucked on an airline where I matter. And I have some status. Okay. That's my bottom.
Okay. My bottom. My bottom is figuring out how to mail something that's in a regular shape. Especially, you know, when you have something you've got to mail and you're excited. I'm mailing something for you, but it wouldn't fit in the box right. And I got really mad. So I just put it to the side. So I need to reapproach that this week. It's just been in my house for like 2 weeks.
You're like, how do I wrap a soccer ball?
I'm like, Ethan's a boy. He likes soccer.
Soccer for men.
Yeah.
Bearded men.
But it's like, it's just everything about the post office is the worst. There's just, people have, like, they know how to do it. Like, you get your ship station, you get your whatever, you get your thing printed, you get your label stuck on. I'm like, I just go and I'm like, help me.
Help me.
Help. Just put something. Just make a go elsewhere, please.
Does this have to, okay, we're going to need your email. Like,
boing. Yeah.
Fan bottom.
Okay. So we're going to do burnt cob bottoms for Eliza to snarf with a sweet and crispy cob top for Emily.
Ooh.
So we're going to do their bottom and their top.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear you go off on this, Eliza. Emily, your sweet treat is at the end. 7 to 8 a.m. Newark Airport, United Terminal, hungry and concussed. Woman, 31. Ordered on an iPad with someone standing there talking to themselves and making no eye contact. He told me to ask the cashier for help for some reason. She then taught me how to use the iPad. After that, she had to find and tell the man to ask me what kind of cream cheese I wanted with my bagel because I didn't choose the cream cheese. The OS is not well made, so how was anyone supposed to know to click the photo of the bagel instead of the fucking plus sign to pick a fucking cream cheese over a plain bagel? It took 10 minutes with no other customers around. Directly after, a 20-something-year-old boy with headphones tried to reach in front of me to order instead of saying, "Excuse me, may I use that?" after I was done. I received bagel with barely any cream cheese on it after I spent $6. Every single airport worker has their soul absolutely drained from them. I tried to make eye contact and greet and smile at everyone despite a no-sleep, cross-country, red-eye on GD daylight savings. Literally, how hard is it to say hello, smile, say thank you earnestly, and wish them well, look at them in the face, or say excuse me or pardon me or my apologies for running into you? Insanity. How much effort does it take to have manners and treat people well? I'm already drained in my career by it, but I never react like that. Ultimately, the reason airport and other underpaid and overworked service workers act like this is because they are treated like crap by the public consistently. They need to be there or else move on to the next job in that same realm that is either the same, a little better, or worse. Extra Eliza info. I guess this is a secret. I don't know. I'm the winery manager wearing the abalone Star of David Tree of Life necklace who wrote you a card in Portland, Oregon. The bagel man was 100% not Jewish. Absolutely unacceptable to smear a bagel like that in Newark of all places. I was like, let me get back there and I'll do it myself. I was also almost taken out by the carry-on bin opening during landing. Okay, all so right. This person, they got off the plane and they wrote this.
Emily, don't, if you read it in that voice, it makes it sound worse. Like now that
that was how I read it.
That was hard. Look, I tell you, if you want to see a glimpse of how people will act in a post-apocalyptic world, go to any airport. That's it. There's no manners. It's every man for himself. It's hot. It's sweaty. Things are at a premium, like fresh air and water and food. And it's designed to make you feel awful so you can get on a plane and feel awful. It's all just designed to make you feel like shit while bajillionaires are just like snarfing up all the free air and water and service.
I mean, this message was like a telegram from the front lines, like horrible, unacceptable, stop. Yeah. But here's the sweet treat, Emily. Okay. The day before I rescued this abandoned cat at my job, she was like all three of my cats. She purred when I held her, leaned into me, kissed my nose, jumped up to nuzzle my hand. Lots of talking. I almost love her more. Here are their photos and names. Thank you for your time. The cat I rescued, Barbara, Tiny Dracula, Barbara, Josie, and Pimu. And then I got pictures of everyone. So thank you.
Okay, cool. So I get kvetching and Emily gets like pure cat porn. Cool. Glad I do the show for you guys.
What's your top? Or you want me? I'll do top, then you close.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My top is I won a really important bid on eBay. By really important, I mean, I was the only one who bid on it. And it was for a 4-year consideration May December hat that says, what does it say on it? It says the quote about insecurity, like insecure people. Oh God, how did I forget it? Well, okay, I won a hat.
I'm sure.
So it's a good story.
I won a hat. I watched Timothée Chalamet's Wonka last night. It's outstanding.
What?
We were all burned by Johnny Depp's take on Willy Wonka and Charlie the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Look, nobody is like, ooh, a musical. Ooh, songs I don't know. They did not bother me. He is great. He's great. Visually, it's super fun. The characters are super fun. And they get people like Olivia Colman. Like, and the movie is, and it's got little throwbacks, little nods to the original. Hugh Grant is the Oompa Loompa. It is whimsical. It is, I mean, obviously everything is about, so this is the triumph of good over evil, police corruption, whatever. It is just about chocolate. It's about a town of people who are obsessed with chocolate. It is such a fun hang. And like, I got emotional toward the end. Part of that is having just had a baby. And part of it was like, oh my God, they're together again. It's a very good movie. And it is a very well-written movie. Like if you study the art of screenwriting, all these little things were tied up, all of these lanterns hung, red herring. Like it was a lesson in screenwriting and it was so good.
This is the old, you really are a mom. Like I watched Wonka and I liked it. It's the most shocking thing you ever could have said to me.
I didn't want to watch it.
I haven't seen it, to be fair.
It is a very good, like, mathematically, it is a good movie. Plus, I was beguiled by him. He's just so sweet, so lovely.
He has no charisma.
He was outstanding in this. That role would be impossible for so many people. And he's not cheesy and he's not Johnny Depp with weird teeth. He's likable. It's a fun movie. Keep in mind, like, we watch a ton of movies. I watch a lot of violent movies. Like, I'm down for a brutal hang. It was great. That's all I got to say. It was great.
I'm happy for you. Are you going to go see him in Dune 2?
I'll probably see Dune 2. First, I'm going to watch Dune 1, although I have like, I think they both take place in deserts. You know what I like about it? In the vein of, it's the same director, Paul King, who did like Paddington, which is also a very good movie, Paddington 2. I think he did Paddington 2. In the vein of like a Nanny McPhee. Like, it's whimsical. People are vaguely British, but it's still multicultural. Like, it's in a place. They don't say it's London. It's like a non-time specific / turn of the last century, whimsical, weird character, funny character place. And it has Mr. Barrow from Downton Abbey, obviously playing a different character. It was just fun. Fun makeup.
Okay.
Fun whimsical.
I'm glad.
Fun whimsy.
Did you eat any candy while you watched?
No, because I'd had the half bottle of wine. I just set it out. But I'm going to go eat some more cake. Bought a whole cake at the bake sale. And that's the pod. And that's my first pod back. I hope I did an okay job. Folks, the tickets that we do have at eliza.com/tour. I have my Netflix is a joke tickets. There are about 3 tickets left, but you'll hear the secret first. I am releasing some comps that we held. The show is pretty much sold out. It is sold out. But we're going to add some tickets that were reserved for like friends and family, but they can see me whenever else. And I'd rather the fans come. So we're going to be releasing those. You can come see me in Indianapolis in July. I'm doing a cancer benefit. So if you live in the greater metropolitan Indianapolis area or Indiana in general, because what else are you going to do? Come on out and see me. And then I'll be at the Brea Improv coming up here in a few months. So come on, get those tickets. That'll be in May as well. And in a few weeks, we will be announcing my new tour and all the cities within it. And I'm very much looking forward to that and seeing you and the new art and feeling a little bit more like myself, getting to go back to the gym, not eating half a cake in the middle of a Sunday and really connecting more with my dog, being the best mom I can be.
To the people.
So please, if you're a fan of the show, I don't know, I feel like this episode was like a 7 out of 10, but if you're a fan of the show, write a positive review, leave it, give us those 5 stars. Please keep writing in. We always want your updates. And remember,
we want more questions. You did really good this time. Some of these questions were real weird. I loved them. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. AskElizaPodcast@gmail.com.
Email. We have some fun guests coming up also. We did an episode with Rebecca Searle. You guys had some good questions for her, New York Times bestselling author. And coming up on the podcast, we're going to have my friend Kate Bowler. She's a professor of the history of Christianity at Duke. She and I met at the Aspen Ideas Festival when she was my moderator, and I just fell in love with her. So I think you're going to enjoy that. We're not a big guest show, but I do think it's beneficial to have guests that are perfect for the show if and when it's easy. So, and they always have to have brown hair. In the meantime, remember, I have now had 2 kids, but I'll always be
the best dog mom.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.